Good morning. Guess what we're talking about today? Hope. It's the first week of Advent. Some people know what Advent is, so some people don't. I didn't know what Advent was until I came to this church, because the church that I used to go to didn't believe in it or didn't preach about it or teach about it. Today, like I said, is the first Advent. I'm going to light a candle in a minute, and this is called the Candle of Hope. Why is it the candle of hope? It's the candle of hope because we are looking forward to the coming of Jesus. Who is our hope now and forever? Think about it. You wouldn't be here if you didn't believe that Jesus died for your sins. You wouldn't be here if you didn't believe that Jesus is our hope. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. In this, we look forward to celebrating Jesus' birth on Christmas. And we look forward to the coming of Jesus again." Why do we have to wait till Christmas to celebrate the birth of Jesus and have hope in him? We don't. We get to do that every day. If we believe that Jesus died for our sins and saved us, then we get to celebrate him every day. And guess what else we get to do? We get to share that with others. So I'm going to light the hope candle because it's tradition for Advent. And then I'm going to sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you. That's what we should be celebrating, Jesus' birth. We sing happy birthday to each other, don't we? Father God, as we light this candle, we pray that you will shine the light of your hope in our hearts and into the world. Our world needs lots of hope right now. We each need lots of hope right now. If we don't study the scriptures like we should, if we don't read the stories of the scriptures, we don't know the stories. We all have a story. Do we like to share our stories? Sometimes. Sometimes we don't want to share our stories because they're not something that we think people want to hear. But do you realize that person might need to hear that story that you need to share? How do we know that? We listen to the Holy Spirit. Why is hope so important? I have a story about God's grace and how to be able to have hope in times of troubles. Anne had been a member of a church all her life. She had a husband and two grown sons. After she had returned from a two-week mission trip, her husband sat down with her and told her that he didn't love her anymore, and he wanted to move out. Anne was devastated, like we all would be. In the weeks since that had happened, she has experienced an intense feeling of betrayal and loss. But she says she has also felt the real presence of God upholding her through this time. As she struggles with the hurt, she has hope because she knows God is beside her. There's her hope. Then there's a story in Genesis about hope. Abraham and Sarah hoped for a child, and God promised them. God promised Abram, who was later Abraham, that he would be a father of many nations. But they were old people. That would be like Karina's grandma having kids, because she's 93. Genesis 15, 1 through 6 says, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your great reward." But Abram said, "Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus." And Abram said, "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." Then the word of the Lord came to him, "This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir." He took himself outside and said, "Look up at the skies and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Genesis 21:3 says, "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. She became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age. At this time, God had promised him, Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore for him. This is a story of hope. We all have to have hope. We all have to have hope. We as human beings can't live without hope. Sometimes it's difficult to have hope, especially when we're going through the trials in our lives. But it doesn't have to be that way as long as we trust in the Lord. Sometimes it's so easy to get caught up in this season of the hurry and the rush of this season, and we forget because there's so many demands on our lives. There's so many expectations of things that need to be done or that we think need to be done. We neglect to focus on the most important event of all. It has been said many times and in many ways, the bottom line is that we are supposed to be celebrating Jesus' birthday because his coming into the world changes everything, including us. The story of Jesus begins with the Old Testament scriptures, especially the writings of the prophets. But where the Christian faith is concerned, those scriptures are filtered through the perceptions of people who had encountered Jesus and had begun to draw certain conclusions about him. During this year, Advent Christmas season, you are encouraged to read the scriptures. The writings of the prophets in the Old Testament anticipating the arrival of the Messiah serves as a background preparation for considering the events described in the New Testament related to the season. So we need to read the prophecies and then read the birth of Jesus. God has blessed us so that we can be a blessing to others. Do you believe that? God's blessed each of us so that we can be a blessing to others. There's days that I go, I don't want to be a blessing because it's work. Honestly, it is work. But once I do it, there's no greater reward because I feel it inside and I know that God is proud of me. I fall continually, but I know that he loves me. And as Jay said earlier, it's about grace. So as we share our faith, we should invite people to church. We should invite them to the Christmas program. We should invite them to movie night. We should invite people. Knowing what we have, we can help others because we have something. If we didn't have something, we wouldn't return here every week. This is a good way to share our love for Jesus with others because we are a family and we like to be able to share our family with others, especially Jesus. So the first candle was the purple candle. It's the symbol of Christ, our hope. In Jeremiah 29, 10 through 14, it says, "This is what the Lord says. When the 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." What a great promise. Every time we walk away from God, he doesn't leave us. Every time we think that we don't want it anymore, God doesn't go anywhere. He's a patient God. That's hope, because he never leaves us or forsakes us. That's scriptural. We don't need to worry about that. He promises a hope and a future. But what are we doing with that hope and future? Sometimes it's just easy to sit on the couch and watch TV. That's one of my problems. I sit on the couch and watch TV. But sometimes I just need to rest my brain. And I'm forgiven when I do it, as long as I don't do it for hours on end. The worst thing that we have now is Netflix. Then we can binge watch everything. It's so easy to get caught up in that. It's such a great babysitter for us. And you can find great things in movies. You can find a God thing in every movie that you watch if you're looking for it. We just need to be looking for them. We as human beings, as I said, cannot live without hope. The first question we should ask ourselves when we receive bad news is there hope, any hope? as we talked about before, the scripture, they were in captivity because Jerusalem was destroyed and many people were taken involuntarily and relocated to a foreign land where there seemed to be no hope. Jerusalem used to be a great nation, and now it's out there in nowhere land. The prophet Jeremiah offered God's people hope for a brighter tomorrow. He prophesied this. God says this, I have a plan, a hope, and a future for you. What do you want to do with it? We as Christians are called to live with hope and anticipation of greater things to come. We are called to live with hope and to look for greater things to come. Are we looking with our natural eyes? Are we missing all of the great things that God is showing us with our spiritual eyes? I am. I miss a lot of the things that God's sending to me because I'm looking with my human eyes that aren't very good. That's why I have these glasses. I need to be looking with my spiritual eyes that God has given me and listening to the Holy Spirit to tell me what needs to be done. But there's so much noise in the world. I can hear this speaker over here humming at me. It's distracting, but I'm still relaying the message that God wants me to relay, but it's still distracting. We're getting to the world where we can't sit in quiet, because if we sit in quiet, then we have things that we shouldn't be listening to or thinking about. We need to remember to focus on what God wants us to be looking at and thinking about. Colossians 1:27 says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope and the glory. Life on this earth doesn't represent the totality of our journey. It's only the beginning of it. Think about that. This is just the beginning. Do we have hope in that? Or do we just exist because that's what we need to do? No, we need to be able to have hope in what God wants us to do. This season of Advent signifies the beginning of this journey. It's a journey in which we anticipate greater things to come because Christ lives in us. Who and what in your life brings you hope? In the fullness of time, God sent the angel Gabriel to Zacharias, a humble Levite priest who ministered before God at the temple in Jerusalem. Appearing in a vision, the angel foretold the birth of John the Baptist, who would be sent to prepare the way for the Messiah. And with the coming of his forerunner, the first stirring of the Messiah's own coming was announced. God sent Gabriel to Zacharias and told him, you will have a son who will be born right before Jesus. Luke 1:17 says, and he will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elisha to turn to the hearts of the parents their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This prophecy happened 460 years earlier, before John the Baptist was born and before Jesus was born. Malachi 4:5 says, see, I will send the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the coming of the Lord. Isaiah 40:30 says, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. For centuries, the promise of the Messiah had tarried. So the people of the Bible in the Old Testament tarried waiting for this to happen. We're still waiting for him to come back, but they waited for him to be born. But now the ancient hope was renewed and the sense of anticipation awakened. For the opening steps had begun. The Messiah was coming at last, and the world would be forever changed. Prophecy long dormant were springing to life before their eyes. In the 6 months, the angel was sent again, this time to a young virgin named Mary, who was promised to Joseph of the house of David. And in greeting her, he spoke of the favor she had found with God. Luke 1:28 says, the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Can you imagine being Mary? Would be nice to be able to have that such close relationship with God and know that even though she was frightened, she heard the angel. Some of us hear angels all the time, Some of us are more stubborn like me that miss the things that the Holy Spirit tells me because I have this in my head instead of what God wants me to hear. In Mary's genealogy, the seed of David had been preserved. Although her husband Joseph, the claim of David's kingdom, which had fallen long ago, and in the child she would bear, the two parts of God's ancient covenant would come together again in one person at last. Psalm 89:3-4 says, I have made a covenant with my chosen one, and I have sworn to David my servant, I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. We're all God's children, so we all have this promise. We are all of the line of David because we believe in Jesus. The angel told how the child would inherit the throne of David, his earthly forefather. Luke 1:32-33 says, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. What a promise. We know that we're saved through Jesus. Isaiah 9:6-7 says, for to us a child is born, to us a child is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatest of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. As he was talking to Mary, Mary was confused by his proclamation. How could this angel speak of her giving birth when she was still a virgin? How shall it be? She asked. So the angel foretold the virgin birth to her. Luke 1:35 says, the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. For 3 months, Mary stayed with her cousin Elizabeth, to whom John the Baptist would be born. And when she returned to Joseph in Nazareth, her pregnancy had begun to show. In Matthew 1:18-20, it says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because her husband was faithful to the law, and yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine Joseph going, how did that happen? Thinking at first she had stepped out on him, but she didn't. She trusted the Lord, and the Lord took care of her and him and told him it was okay. Isaiah 7:13-14 says, then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. Call him Emmanuel. There's the prophecy again. Matthew 1:23 says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Matthew 21 says, she will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So the first part of that says, she will give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. God tells them, you will call him Emmanuel or Jesus, depending on the translation. Isaiah 49:1 says, listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Behold, I was born, the Lord called me from my mother's womb, and he has spoken my name. Then I'm going to read Matthew 21:21 again, because it's the second part that's important. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name of Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. There's the promise and the hope right there. Jesus saved us from our sins. We should find great hope in that. Isaiah 49:5 says, and now the Lord says, He who formed me in the womb to be his servant to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. Matthew 1, 24 and 25 says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the start of the journey of God being born. This is what Mary had to go through. This is what Mary's promise was. This is what the prophecies talked about. This is where we find our hope at this season. This is where we give others hope. Do you realize that you have a hope that you can give to others? Is it easy to talk about Jesus with people? No, not always, unless you're my brother. He can talk to anybody about Jesus, but he also beats them up with them, unfortunately, sometimes. Love the sinner, hate the sin, not the thing that you should say to people. But sometimes that's what they've learned. But what I've learned since I've been in this church, it's about a relationship. It's about not about a religion, it's about a relationship. It's about my relationship with Jesus. It's about my relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's about my relationship with God. As I read what the people of old had been through, what I'd read about the promises that God had to me, Jeremiah was a perfect example, a promise of a hopeful future. Do I believe that I have a hopeful future? Not in the past. But since I've been coming to this church and knowing that I have a relationship with God and nobody can take that away from me, it's amazing. It's not about the rules and regulations anymore. It's about my relationship this way. It's not about somebody that can tell me I can believe what I need to believe. It's something that I can learn through reading scripture, that I can talk to God about, and he'll answer me if I listen. There's my hope, because I don't have to trust anybody else. I just have to trust God. I have to trust Jesus Christ died for my sins, and he loved me, and I needed to say, I believe, and I want to be part of that. Is it easy to be a follower of Jesus? No. How many people walked away? You think about it. He served 3,000 or 5,000 people food. The next day, 3,000 of them walked away because they just came for the food. They didn't come for the message. We're in a mess, people. But the messes that we live are messages to other. It's been a hard year for me, but I know my hope is in Jesus. I know that it doesn't matter how hard life gets. I have hope. I haven't given up, and I won't, because I know that Jesus died for me. I know I'm forgiven. I know I can live in grace. I know that every one of you love people. Sometimes it's not easy to love people. Sometimes your family just gives up on you. But you know what? You don't have to worry about them, because Jesus loves you. You have a relationship with God. You can be that peace in the room when there's chaos, if you choose to be. Why? Because you have hope. You have the hope in our Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you don't get it, ask him for it. God, I don't know what this chaos is, but I don't want to live in it. I want peace in my home. I want peace in my heart. And I want peace around me. And I want to be peace to somebody else, because you were peace to me first. Jesus lived everything that we could ever think of. He went through everything that we could ever imagine. And he loved us, and he went through it. He bled from every pore so that we could have what we have today. And if we are not where we need to be, that's okay. We're going to get there, because we won't. It's the beginning of our journey. This isn't the end of our journey. It's the beginning of our journey. As it said, as I read earlier, this season is the beginning. But we need to live and sing to Jesus every day, because he came to save all of us. Will you go with me in prayer? Father God, I am thankful and grateful for the opportunity I got to talk on the hope that we need to have in Jesus. I'm thankful that I get to learn from the Bible the things that Mary went through, the things that Joseph went through as humans, but still trusted in you. Thank you for the promise in Jeremiah that says, you knew me before I was born, and that you promised me a plan of hope and a future that I can live if I just believe. Thank you for grace every day. Thank you that every day is a new day, and whatever happened yesterday, I can let go of and move forward to today. I don't have to hold on to the past. And thank you, Lord, that we have families that love us. Thank you, Lord, whatever chaos that's going on in each family, Lord, that you are in the middle of the mess, that the message is there, that you can be in the middle of the mess and calm people down and make them see that it's about you and not about things. Thank you, Lord, that you love each and every one of us right where we're at, and that you guide and direct us in the things that you want us to do. And Lord, open our ears that we may hear what you want us to do. And whatever message, Lord, that the people that are in the congregation get out of this or in the world get out of this, Lord, help them see that it's about your hope. Thank you, Lord, for this season, that we not get caught up in the commercialism, that we take time and hang around people that uplift us and make us better. And Lord, that people that need to be uplifted, help us to be able to uplift them. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your wisdom. And thank you that you're in the middle of our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you continue to bring the people that don't know you yet or that have been beaten up by religion into our house so we can love on them and appreciate them and help them and guide them on the journey that you have for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.